Our first document this morning is adapted and excerpted from a speech delivered by Eugene V. Debs in Canton, Ohio on June 6, 1918. Debs was a politician from Terre Haute who embraced socialism and became one of the prominent leaders of the socialist movement in the United States in the early part of the 20th century. It's now my pleasure to invite John Bartlett forward to share with us some words from Debs' speech.
Comrades, friends, and fellow workers, for this very cordial greeting, for this very hearty reception, I thank you all with all the fullest appreciation of your interest in and your devotion to the cause for which I am to speak to you this afternoon. There is but one thing you have to be concerned about, and that is that you keep four square with the principles of the International Socialist Movement. It is only when you begin to compromise that trouble begins. So far as I am concerned, it does not matter what others may say or think or do, as long as I am sure that I am right with myself and the cause. There are so many who seek refuge in the popular side of a great question. As a socialist, I have long since learned how to stand alone. For the last month, I have been traveling all over the Hoosier State. And let me say to you that in all my connection with the socialist movement, I have never seen such meetings, such enthusiasm, such unity of purpose. Never have I seen such a promising outlook as there is today, notwithstanding the statement published repeatedly that our leaders have deserted us. Well, for myself, I've never had much faith in leaders. I'm willing to be charged with almost anything rather than to be charged with being a leader. I am suspicious of leaders, and especially of the intellectual variety. Give me the rank and file every day in the week. If you go to the city of Washington, you examine the pages of the Congressional Directory, you will find that almost all of those corporation lawyers and cowardly politicians, members of Congress, and misrepresentatives of the masses, you will find almost every one of them claim in glowing terms that they have risen from the ranks to places of eminence and distinction. I am very glad that I cannot make that claim for myself. I would be ashamed to admit that I had risen from the ranks. When I rise, it will be with the ranks and not from the ranks. These are the gentry who are today wrapped up in the American flag, who shout their claim from the housetops that they are the only patriots, who give their magnifying glasses who have their magnifying glasses in hand, scanning the country for evidence of disloyalty, eager to apply the brand of treason to the men who even dare whisper their opposition to the Junker rule in the United States. No wonder Sam Johnson declared that patriotism is the last refuge of the scoundrel. He must have had this Wall Street gentry in mind, or at least their prototypes, for in every age it has been the tyrant, the oppressor and the exploiter who has wrapped himself in the cloak of patriotism or religion or both to deceive and overwave the people. Socialism is a growing idea, an expanding philosophy. It is spreading over the entire face of the earth. It is as vain to resist it as it would be to arrest the sunrise on the morrow. It is coming, coming, coming all along the line. Can you not see it? If not, I advise you to consult an oculist. There is certainly something the matter with your vision. It is the mightiest movement in the history of mankind. What a privilege to serve it. It has made possible for me to take my place side by side with you in the great struggle for the better day. To know that I am kin to all that throbs. To be class conscious and to realize that, regardless of nationality, race, creed, or color, or sex, every man, every woman who toils, who renders useful service, every member of the working class, without an exception, is my comrade, my brother and sister, and that to serve them and their cause is the highest duty of my life. In their service, I can feel myself expand. I can rise to the stature of a man and claim the right place, or claim the right to a place on earth. a place where I can stand and strive to speed the day of industrial freedom and social justice. To turn your back on the corrupt Republican Party and still more Democratic Party, the gold-lust lackeys of the ruling class counts for still more after you have stepped out of those popular and corrupt capitalist parties to join a majority party that has an ideal, that stands for principle and fights for a cause. This will be the most important change you have ever made, and the time will come when you will thank me for having made the suggestion. It was the day of days for me. I remember it well. It was like passing from the midnight darkness to the noontide light of day. It came almost like a flash and found me ready. In due time, the hour will strike and this great cause triumphant. The greatest in history will proclaim the emancipation of the working class and the brotherhood of all mankind.
Thank you, John. Our second document this morning is a speech in its entirety given by Robert Kennedy on April 4th, 1968 in Indianapolis. Kennedy had early in the day been in Muncie and had spoken at Ball State University in hopes of becoming the Democrat nominee for the President of the United States in 1968. That evening, his speech was not about politics, but was a response to the horrible news of the day. I would now like to invite Lynn Souza forward to share a reading of this speech with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm only going to talk to you just for a minute or so this evening because I have some very sad news for all of you, and I think sad news for all of our fellow citizens and people who love peace all over the world. And that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis, Tennessee. Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between his fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it's perhaps well to ask what kind of nation we are and what direction we want to move in. For those of you who are black, considering the evidence is that there were white people who were responsible, you can be filled with bitterness and with hatred and a desire for revenge. We can move in that direction as a country, as in greater polarization,